say, did you find the discussion useful? Yeah. So what are some of the points that you came up with? What are some things that came out of the discussion that were meaningful for you? Yes. Ah, the common denominator is anger. Okay. So what do you mean by that? What prevents you from apologizing and forgiving is usually anger? Yeah. Okay. What else actually prevents apologizing and forgiving? Yeah? Yeah, pride is a big one, isn't it? Yeah. Who, me? Oh, I'm not going to apologize to you. First you apologize to me. Yeah. Sometimes when we have, when we ask, you know, even about forgiving, what makes it difficult to forgive is because sometimes we want somebody else to apologize to us first, don't we? Yeah. We want them to acknowledge how much we've suffered because of what they've done. Then we'll forgive them. Right? Right? But first, they have to get down on their hands and knees and grovel in the dirt, you know, and say, oh, I'm so sorry. I hurt you so much. And then we can go, oh, yes, I was hurt so much. Oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. You know, and then after they've groveled enough, then we'll say, okay, I guess I forgive you. Oh, are we creating problems for ourselves? Oh, you bet. Because you know what? To set the stipulation in our own mind that we're not going to forgive until somebody else apologizes, we are giving away our power. Aren't we? Because we're making our ability to let go of our own anger dependent on somebody else. Yeah? Because forgiving, I think, has a lot to do with letting go of anger, don't you? Yeah? So we're saying, I'm not going to let go of my anger until you apologize. Because I want to know that you know how much I've suffered. Yeah? So, you know, we set up this kind of precondition in our mind, and then we box ourselves in. Because can we make somebody else apologize? No. No. So then we're saying, okay, I'm going to hold on to my anger forever and ever and ever because somebody else isn't going to apologize. Who suffers when we hold on to our anger? We do. Yeah, when we hold on to a grudge, we're the ones who suffer. So we have to let go of the precondition in our own mind that says, I won't forgive until they apologize. Let them do whatever they're going to do. We can't control. Okay? But what we have to do is let go of our anger about the situation. Yeah, because our anger makes us miserable, and our anger keeps us in prison. Okay? Sometimes, you know what you were saying about arrogance and pride, and that, you know, won't let us forgive or won't let us apologize, because we're so attached to our grudges, we hold on to them. Yeah? When we make a promise never to speak to somebody again, we never break that promise. Yeah. All of our other promises we renegotiate. Yeah. Oh, I promised that. Oh, I didn't really mean it. Oh, I promised this. Oh, well, things changed. But I promise not to speak to somebody again? Never. Yeah. So we just really box ourselves into such a suffering state. Yeah. And then when we hold on to anger and hold on to grudges, we don't forgive, we don't apologize, what are we teaching our children? Yeah. As parents, what examples are you setting for your children when you don't forgive other people or when you don't apologize to other people? What are you teaching your kids? Yeah. And especially if you hold a grudge against another family member, okay, you don't speak to one of your brothers or sisters, what are you teaching your children? When they grow up, then maybe they won't speak to each other. Because they learn that from mom and dad. Because mom and dad don't speak to their brothers and sisters. Is that what you want to teach your kids? Yeah. I say this because I came up from a family in which that happened. Okay? I just remember that they had some kind of summer home where they all went to. And I just remember there were four flats on the summer home. And the family that lived in one of the flats, they were our relatives, but I wasn't supposed to speak to them. Okay? They were cousins or, you know, something with my grandmother and their grandmother, you know, were sisters or something, or brother and sister. I forget what it was. But all I knew was that they were relatives, but I wasn't supposed to talk to them. Okay. I had no idea what happened, you know, what happened two generations ago, not my own generation, not my parents' generation, but my grandparents' generation, you know. I don't even know what happened, but we weren't supposed to talk to that family. Okay. Then when I saw what happened is, you know, because it existed on the level of my grandparents' generation, siblings not talking to each other, I watched my parents' generation. Slowly that began to happen among my aunts and uncles in the family. This uncle didn't talk to that aunt, and that one didn't talk to this one, and this one didn't talk to that one. Then, horror of horrors, I started seeing it on my generation and all my cousins not talking to each other because this and that and this and that. And they all found their own unique reason to hold a grudge. It wasn't the same grudge as happened at my grandparents' generation, you know. I mean, they can find, they're new and creative and find new reasons to hate each other, you know. And it was just, it was so shocking, you know, to watch that and say, wow, you know, when this happens in a family, it carries on through the family because what children learn is not so much from what their parents tell them to do, but what their parents do. And I thought, what a tragedy. You know, I wonder if this is going to happen to all my nieces and nephews and my cousins, you know, children and things like that. That none of them are going to, they're all going to find reasons to not talk to each other. Okay? So really think about it. If you're in a family in which this kind of stuff happens, and do you really want to participate in that? Yeah. Because if you think about it, remember when the Yugoslavia broke up and you had all the republics fighting each other? It was all about something that happened a few hundred years ago. And all the people who were killing themselves in the 1990s, they weren't alive a few hundred years ago. But because this grudge against the other ethnic groups had been passed on from generation to generation, finally it exploded several hundred years later. You know, is that stupid or is that stupid? You know, think about it. I'm going to kill you because your ancestor and my ancestor, who lived 300 or 400 years ago, you know, were in some kind of ethnic dispute. So therefore, we can't be friends. Stupid. Yeah? So, you know, we just have to be careful that we don't let our mind get caught in that kind of thing. Did you all find somebody you need to forgive? Yeah, plenty, huh? Yeah, can you even imagine forgiving? Yeah. It's quite helpful, you know, as we will do the Vajrasattva meditation again, you know, after the break. And just spend some time imagining forgiving these people. Imagine what your life would be like if you stopped hating them and you stopped holding a grudge. Yeah? It's a very interesting thing just to imagine how much free space there is in your own mind when you're not holding on to stuff. What about apologizing? Did you all find somebody you need to apologize to? Plenty of those also? Now, sometimes apologies can be just very flippant. Oh, I'm sorry. Then we know, you know, that's not a real apology, is it? Okay. And we're not talking about other people apologizing to us. We're talking about the quality of our apologies. Okay. So I think, first of all, we have to work on ourselves to get ourselves to the point where we feel some regret for our own actions. Not guilt. We don't want to beat ourselves up emotionally. But we do regret what we did. Okay? We regret what we did because it hurt somebody else, and because that mental state was painful for us and it hurt us as well. Okay? And so we want to apologize regardless of whether the other person forgives us or not. So just as we don't make our forgiving somebody contingent on their apologizing first, we don't make our apologizing to somebody contingent on their forgiving us afterwards. Okay? Because the basic thing to do when we're apologizing is we're cleaning up our own mental mess. Mm-hmm. When we apologize, we're the ones who benefit. We're cleaning up all of our confused emotions, our own mental mess. Mm-hmm. Then, when we apologize to somebody, it's completely up to them whether they accept the apology or not. And whether they accept it or not is not our business. Okay? Because our work was feeling the regret and doing the purification and the apology on our part. Their work is to be able to accept the apology. So even if somebody doesn't accept it, we don't need to feel bad, because the thing was, we have to check up if we were really sincere in our apology. And if we are, then we feel that peace of mind that we've done our work. We've done all we can to ease the situation. We can't control it. We can't make somebody else love us again or even like us again. But the important thing is that we've cleared up our part of what happened. Okay? And that's always the best we can do. And that's what we need to do, is clear up our part of it. Okay? Now, sometimes the person we need to apologize to doesn't want to talk to us. Yeah? Or sometimes they've died and we can't talk to them. Yeah? But still, the force of the apology is still there, and it's very strong, whether or not we're able to communicate it directly to the other person or not. You know, so if somebody isn't ready to talk to us, we just need to give some space. Maybe we write it in a letter and send the letter. Or maybe we call them on the phone. We try and see what the best way to do it is. And then we just give them space. Yeah? Or if they're dead, just even in our mind, we imagine them and we apologize. And we trust their own goodness to forgive us. Yeah. But the main thing is our forgiving ourselves. That's the main thing. Okay? And purification centers a lot around our forgiving ourselves. Because somehow we have this very distorted notion that if we feel really guilty and we feel really terrible, that somehow is going to atone for the pain we caused somebody else. Okay? Does your feeling guilty stop somebody else's pain? It doesn't, does it? Your guilt is your own pain. Yeah, it doesn't solve somebody else's pain. So to think that the worse I feel, the more guilty I feel, the more shameful and evil and hopeless and helpless I feel, then I'm really purifying. That's another one of our stupid ways of thinking. Okay? Yeah. And so what we want to do is acknowledge the mistake, forgive ourselves, so we don't hold on to that kind of regret and confusion and negative feeling. And then let go. Let go. Yeah, because we don't want to go through our whole lives carrying big sacks of guilt on our back, do we? I heard of a teacher once who asked his students who felt guilty to wear a knapsack with bricks in it and walk around all day with this knapsack full of bricks. Yeah? And that's basically what we're doing to ourselves on a mental and spiritual level when we feel guilty, is we're carrying around bricks. And I think that's why often maybe when people get old, they get bent over. Yeah? Because they're bent over with all their regret, all their guilt. Whereas a practice like this, like Vajrasattva, it enables us to clear those things up. Yeah? We have regret. We do the purification. We let go. Okay? We don't have to carry around those bad feelings forever and ever. Okay? Because we have so much human potential and so much goodness in ourselves that to waste our time feeling guilty doesn't make much sense. Okay? We do need to feel regret for our mistakes. Yeah, regret is important, but regret and guilt are not the same thing. Okay? For example, if I accidentally knock this ceramic cup over and it breaks and I regret it, right? Do I feel guilty about it? No, there's no reason to feel guilty, you know, it was an accident. But there's regret. Yeah? So same thing, when we acted in harmful ways, we can regret that. But we don't have to feel guilty. Okay. So, you're the only one who can tell what's going on in your mind and assess whether you're feeling regret or guilt. That's up for you to determine as an individual. Yeah. And so this is where having a meditation practice is very helpful, because you become more and more aware of your different mental states and you're able to tell the difference between regret and guilt. Yeah. Then you cultivate regret, you forgive yourself, you let go. Okay. But you don't cultivate guilt.